Why is this motion being made? What purpose would be served if it were to pass?
We'll have the maker of the motion, I guess, answer that, please.
Well,
Representative
Priestley. There's a concern here about, it's not friendly to the purpose of the bill, clearly. It does, I think this restriction is too limiting. I think Ms. Tickle just said that. She didn't, and so that's why I'm making it.
Madam Chair?
Representative Drew.
Could we ask, I missed that discussion. Could we ask Ms. Tickle to, please? I noted the look on her face, and I'm not sure that the motion accomplishes her statement, and I'd like to make sure.
Well, I'm just sort of leaning on her comments, actually. It's a concern I voiced.
I want to see if she's there to lean on.
Lorna, for the record?
Your
name?
Lorna Stickle, I'm sorry. Multnomah County Planning Director. What I'm hearing you say is an amendment that would make it, that would change the way that you would calculate the size based on the $2,500 of annual gross income. The way I read this currently, and I've heard two different definitions of this, is that you take all farms that earn over $2,500 within whatever crop type it is that you're talking about, and you divide the number of acres by the number of farms, and you come up with an acreage. And in the letter that I submitted, I did just that. That's what those average sizes indicated. Your amendment, I believe, would change that calculation to mean would be not smaller than whatever size it would take to produce $2,500 in annual gross income, which would be probably smaller in most cases than an average calculated on all the farms that earn over $2,500.
Maybe I missed the motion.
I think that is his intent.
The motion is, on line 21, Lorna, is a farmer woodlot producing at least $2,500 in annual gross income from the crops, livestock, or forest products to be raised?
Yeah. And that's what that would do, I think.
So it would have to be, first of all, 20 or more acres. That's the first criteria.
Right.
And
right. So you couldn't go down below 20.
You couldn't go below 20, but you might
20.
Not have to go as high as whatever the average
would
be.
Have to be 20.
Let's say for strawberries, you've figured out that it's 48 acres is your average of all farms that earn over $2,500.
You
want to take strawberries?
Let's start at six on strawberries.
Because strawberries, I think, started about 2 or 3 acres to produce that.
But it depends on whether you're on hill strawberry land or you're on valley strawberry land.
Row crops, let's say.
There are a lot of crops under 20.
Timothy hay.
There you go. 642 would be the average. If you wanted to produce $2,500 in annual gross income with a typical row crop in your county, it probably will be less than the average by quite a bit, would be my guess. But it couldn't be less than 20 because you've already got the 20 in there. But it might be, and if it was less than 20, then 20 would be your cutoff period. It would be 20. In fact, I would guess for my county, that's probably about what would happen with most of the major income-producing crops, but not the majority of the land itself.
You would have consists of 20 or more acres.
It would be 20 in most cases.
And is a farm or woodlot producing at least 2,500 gross annual income.
Madam Chair?
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Just a second. Elizabeth, I know, wants to say something.
Well,
you need to come up.
Elizabeth Norman. What you're doing is you're setting up a minimum size of 20 acres, and then you're applying an income test, okay? If you do that, then how B will work is completely changed, too, because then you're saying in A, if it's 20 acres or more, it has to make $2,500 in income, and in B, you're saying if it's less than 20 acres, it has to make $10,000. So what I'm just saying is you need to keep that in mind and adjust the whole concept if you're going to adjust A.
Yeah, she's right. That's right. You're right.
Representative Tripp.
I would like to ask Lois if she would come up. I'm curious to know if she has a reaction to this. I don't think any of them have had the opportunity to respond to this amendment yet. Proposed amendment. Lauren, you can come over here if you want to do it.
For the record, Lois Kanegi, Agriculture for Oregon, Madam Chair, Representative Troop. Ag for Oregon has great concern about Representative Priestley's emotion and concern here. We understand the concern that this does complicate things for counties such as Multnomah County, where the farmers who support land use planning have been very grateful to Multnomah County, their planning department, their board of commissioners, their urban population, for having been very, very supportive of good land use planning throughout the state. They've helped us defeat some initiatives, and they are known to be good supporters of land use planning, and we are very grateful for that support. Multnomah County has done a very good job of planning, and I feel very badly that a bill which Ag for Oregon feels is going to be very important to protect commercial agriculture throughout the state, as well as to loosen things up, particularly in southern and eastern Oregon, is going to work a hardship on some of the counties, on like Marion and Multnomah particularly, who've done a very good job. This is frightening because actually the motion to consideration is frightening because what you would be doing, as it appears to me, is putting into an EFU ordinance a minimum lot size for all practical purposes of 20 acres. And for instance, in Benton County, with which I'm most familiar, several years ago, we used to have a 40-acre minimum lot size. The average farm size in Benton County is closer to 180 or 300 acres. I don't recall what the average is. But then when there was discussion as to what that minimum lot size should go up to, because 40 acres was not adequate, then there was a lot of feeling that it should go up to 160. The realtors and many other people felt that was too stiff, and so then we tried to get 80, and that did not go. So we have relied on the county to work out criteria. If you put 20 or more acres, we've lost even the 40-acre minimum lot size, which was the old law. We're back to a farm dwelling being permitted on almost any parcel in the EFU zone under 20 acres or more, and that does not reflect the kind of commercial agriculture which is prevalent in our county. It may reflect some kinds of commercial agriculture which is prevalent in areas of Multnomah County, but it certainly does not reflect the bulk of commercial agriculture which produces the economic base to make agriculture number one in economic values.
Representative Anderson.
What if we substitute $10,000 for the $2,500?
It subjected it to a $10,000 gross, and it subjected that to the same criteria we're putting in the next.
It does the same thing.
I'd have to defer to Dick Benner or someone because my head doesn't think legally quite clearly fast enough.
What I'm trying to do is relieve the county governing bodies and the planning commission going through all these outreaches and making decisions. Okay. Making $10,000, I'm satisfied with that because 20 acres of grapes is going to make $30,000. So I don't care. I can build a house if I've got 10 acres, 20 acres of grapes.
Representative Anderson, Madam Chair, in response to that, the reason $2,500 was chosen when the bill was drafted originally is because those facts are available. The county does not have to calculate them. Curry County does not have to calculate them. They are available from the 78 census. They will be available from the 1983 census. It is material which is available without calculation. And I think originally we had tried something higher than that and decided that was too stiff and came down to the $2,500.
Representative Hill.
May I offer a substitute motion? Perhaps Representative Priestley would find acceptable. How about if we just eliminate lines 21, 22, 23 and also raise the number of acres to 30? Lois, would you comment on that?
I'll comment on it. She does. I think you've done the same thing. You have actually statewide put a 30-acre minimum lot size. I don't know if you
have. Is this
related?
Yes. Minimum lot size.
It wouldn't matter whether the county had minimum lot size or didn't. Yes. You are essentially saying let's have 30-acre minimum lot sizes in all of the state.
What we have now in the bill is 20-acre.
No.
20 acres and is not smaller than
average.
May I?
So it vary depending on the crop.
The first test would be 20.
And?
20 acres or more and is not smaller. So it could be larger. If
you leave land for 26, that allows them smaller than required under paragraph A.
In response to Representative Anderson's point about him wanting to relieve the counties of the burden of having to gather the data is all gathered for the counties, and that's why the $2,500 figure is in 237 now. These materials have been collected. They're from the 1978 Census of Agriculture. They've been collected by Oregon State University, and they're available to every county. I have the District 1, which includes Multnomah County. All you have to do is tell me what kind of crop or livestock is being proposed or is being undertaken on the parcel proposed for a dwelling, and I can turn and tell you the average size of the farm in the county of that type that's producing $2,500 or more. There's no need for data gathering. There's no need for Ms. Stickle to add up all the farms and divide the acres by the number of farms. It's all done right here.
I already did it. It's right here.
Well, it isn't very burdensome then, is it?
What's burdensome about it is that in every case but one, the average sizes that you're referring to are way over what our minimum lot size is already.
Well, why don't you...
So that test does nothing for us whatsoever. It certainly doesn't help anything. We, in all cases, are going to have to fall back on the income of two out of the last consecutive 3 years. They'll have to show that they've earned $10,000. And my only reason for making the point was you're going to have a lot of circumstances where they are probably not going to be able to meet that test. And you're going to have people owning 15, 8, 17, whatever acres, who in effect will have to sell it, basically. They'll have no choice but to sell it or lease it to some other farmer to operate it, and they will never get a house on it.
This is the motion I wanted to make. I was trying to do it more simply. It doesn't mess with B. It just changes perennial large A.
Consists of 20 more acres and produces at least 2,500 gross annual income when the crops, livestock, or forest products to be raised on the farm unit, or...
Or, and then you have B.
And then you have little B.
Well, you have big B.
No, you have big B. Or.
See, this is just an adding into to big A.
And you use an or at
big
the
B?
End instead of an and.
An or, huh? So you can go in through both, either one of those. Can that be my motion, please?
Representative Priestley moves that on this piece of paper that we've just passed out, line 6, line 20, you would substitute that language for what's currently on line 20. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, if I see that correctly, it puts the decision making then of whether they're going to allow it to be the 20 acres or more with the $2,500 gross annual income. It leaves the county commissioner, the county planners, deciding whether they're going to allow it that way or whether they are going to have it be on the average size for that area and that crop. And maybe that's good and maybe it's bad, I don't know. But it leaves them to be the decision maker on which...
Representative Dan Lewin, I can't imagine under that they would not use A. Period.
Depends on the makeup of the
board.
Do you get a copy of it, George?
No, I
haven't. I don't have any more.
Representative,
I think Elizabeth Norman pointed out that the effect of this amendment would be to change the test from a size test to an income test. It will be more difficult to administer, take more time for the county to apply it. And the way it's phrased right now, the land would have to currently be in production. Under the test of the draft of the bill we have, land does not need to be in production.
Yeah, we'd have to be in production.
So it would be more restricted.
Which way?
With Representative Priestley's amendment.
Because it has to be in production.
It has to be in production. And it's an income test, not a size test. I wanted to put a question to Ms. Stickley. Is that correct?
Stickley, excuse me.
In Multnomah County, you're saying that the sizes necessary to produce $2,500 are larger than 20 acres, or larger than your minimum lot size. What's your minimum lot size, and what soils in general are you talking about?
The areas that I have the most concern about are generally class three. I would say predominantly class three, with the next predominance being class two. And our minimum lot size there currently is 38 acres, but upon a showing of a farm management plan that shows that you're going to producing some other type of crop, because we are transitioning into the more intensive crops year by year by year, we will allow it to go down to 19 in order to get a farm dwelling.
So the intensive truck crops, somebody could present the plan and produce how much? How much do the plants have to produce before you'll accept them? $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 a year approximately? Is there a figure that you use?
We don't use a direct minimum, no. We evaluate it just based on the average income figures that we can get from OSU.
We have a couple people here from banks that we can ask that question to, but we've got the motion before us. Can we vote on this?
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahan.
I move to amend the motion, listening to Representative Bill's concern, of saying is capable of rather than just producing.
Fine.
Is that?
That's friendly.
Madam Chair, I've got another amendment along the same thing that I just come up with. But it changes the whole language a little bit.
Well, can we vote on this motion first and get that out of the way and then do yours?
And then we could vote on mine to replace it after?
Sure.
Okay.
You might tell us what... Well, that's fine. Let's just vote on this. Any further discussion? The motion is to accept Representative Priestley's deletion of line 20 on page 6 and add to that consists of 20 or more acres and is capable of producing at least 2,500 in annual gross income from the crops and livestock forest products.
Or.
Representative Hill.
One final comment. With the word or, what we're saying is that if smaller than 20 acres could produce $2,500, that would be acceptable. Therefore, if a 19-acre piece could produce $2,500, it would be acceptable.
If
19
was
acres
small.
In East Multnomah County will produce $2,500 worth of strawberries, it's acceptable.
Just like it would be under the way the bill drafted now.
It wouldn't if it's under 20 acres.
That
20 acres is the bottom right now on the bill.
That
Okay. Representative Hill withdraws his substitute motion. Well, you started to.
How do you want to work on the problem there?
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Priestley.
Aye.
Representative Trahan.
Aye.
Representative Truth. Representative Van Dorn. Representative Anderson.
Aye.
No.
Representative
Bill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Chair Hewitt?
No.
Wait, did you count me voting yes, since I didn't open my mouth?
I'm sorry. I just assumed you weren't here when I didn't do this.
Did it pass or fail?
Yes.
Pass, but I need Representative Atwood's vote.
I was a no, I think.
Okay. Motion passes.
Chair. Same section, I would like to...
Before we start that, we have asked two people from the banks to come in. Can we hear from them first?
Sure.
Frank and Don, do you want to come up? We had a couple questions and appreciate you coming in.
And
right.
There's
another
mic over there.
I thought that was it, yeah.
Welcome to the world.
Well,
where am I?
I'm not sure where we are.
Here's what
somebody
can make.
Somebody
can
make $2,500 on 3 acres. That could be good. Or 1 acre. And exclusive on 20 or more. Definitely.
What did you ask?
Yay!
You basically eliminated all
of them. Thank you, Brent. I guess I've got two of them.
No.
Okay.
You got 20 acres or more.
There's no minimum.
Four.
Huh?
Yeah, that was a minimum failed today. I'm sure
four the word is
strawberry. Right, there's strawberry.
It
can't
be smaller than average.
The average is producing $2,500 in any particular crop. It's growing strawberries. 2 acres produce $1,600. 3 acres.
What?
Okay, we have people here that we asked, specifically the committee asked to come to answer some questions for us.
I thought we were going to get a banker.
Well, this is the closest we could get to having a banker come. What we were asking on, and was this law passed in 1981? The Farmer Jones Law. Familiar with it?
I believe so.
Can you tell us if that's being used? Since I understand the
farmers,
the bank has wanted the Farmer Jones Law. Huh?
Madam Chairperson, Don Fordyce, U.S. Bancorp. Is the Farmer Jones Law that you're referring to the partitioning?
Yes.
Law that they passed in, 79, I believe?
79.
Farmer Jones was 81. The mortgage cutout was 79.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chairperson, members of the committee, I'm Frank Bronner with the Oregon Bankers Association. If the question is, will we lend money, I was prompted outside as to what the question is. Yeah. The petitioning bill in 1979, yes, it is being used. Will we lend money on a mortgage lot? And as I understand that definition, it is a lot that is not petitioned. Will we lend money without fee title in the being available in the property on which the dwelling is being built? The answer is no.
So,
I didn't think that was
Chair.
A question.
If unless it is legally petitioned, and unless the owner of that home is the owner of the land, we would I can't imagine a lender making such a loan. Now, long-term leases, if we want to get into particular circumstances, that's a different story.
Representative Bell.
Madam Chair, I understood part of the question to be, would they loan money on land, on farmland, on which the purchaser of that land did not live? Wasn't that part of the question?
Whether there is no dwelling or whether there is no improvements.
Where there is no dwelling, or
if, on farmland. That,
on farmland.
That yes, we make loans on farmland where there is no dwelling. We do take into consideration the usual considerations, but the production of that land.
Frank, may I?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Representative Van Leeuwen, the question of whether we will loan on bare land has to do with loan priorities, in which we would be looking at, in most cases, an active farm production type situation where there's a real farm that is operating. We'd be looking at the ability of that operation to produce sufficient cash flow to pay for the land if it's an expansion of an existing farm or some kind of an operation like that. that would be an acceptable reason to lend, for the bank to lend money. If it is a situation where a person is buying a piece of property that has no structures on it, and they're buying it for speculation purposes, that is a matter of loan priority, in which it would be in at present time, and at least in the recent past, that has been a decline priority, at least from my institution. We do not lend available funds for speculation purposes on land. So you have the same situation in terms of the legality of lending it would be fine, but it's a loan priority rather than anything that having to do with the ability to legally encumber it or not.
I think the question partly arose on DVA loans and on farmland, and people having to live on the property to be eligible for some of those loans.
Representative Anderson?
I guess I want to go back to the scenario that I'm Farmer Jones. My son just got married, decides he wants to live on the farm, and he wants to build a house. Now, I don't really want him to mortgage my ranch, and he wants to build a house out there. If somebody wants to finance it and he goes bankrupt or he's insolvent, can't make the payments, of course the bank can then, by current law, cut that out of there and take possession of it. Do you make those loans to that
person? Madam Chairperson, Farmer Jones, you would sign the papers.
No way, I don't sign the papers. Will you loan to my son to build a house?
I believe that our answer would be no, unless the property was legally petitioned.
Would you finance a mobile home then?
The answer to that question is probably yes.
That's why I call it the mobile home statute.
Well, Madam Chair, that's correct as far as our operation would be concerned. The problem would be that in the case of a mobile home, you have title to the home and it can be moved easily. In the case of the stick-built structure, we would have no ability to collateralize that loan, and without Farmer Jones signing the mortgage, we don't have that ability.
And even in foreclosure procedures, we could not get a legal petition because the property would not be owned by the son.
Thank you very much. Representative Parkinson, you have a motion?
I'm not sure it's a motion, but Marion County gave this to me. He's a little bit agitated, and I'd like him to explain it to us, and if we think it's a good idea, I'll make a motion.
Madam Chair, Representative Parkinson, some of us in the audience are still a little confused about the last motion that was passed. And the motion that I was going to propose deals with that general subject, but before I propose it or explain it, I think, would it be possible for the chairperson to explain again what the intent was, if not the specific wording?
My intent was not to require that smaller than the crop production schedule.
Well, the way the motion ended up, Representative Priestley, is as follows. It would say, consists of 20 or more acres and is capable of producing at least 2,500 in annual gross income from the crops, livestock, or forest products to be raised on the farm unit, or, if it didn't meet that test.
What about woodlot? Is woodlot in there?
Forest product.
You should have consistent 21 acres in B as well. I'm sorry.
What the motion was that we passed was, or is not smaller than the average farmer woodlot in the county, producing at least 2,500 in annual gross income from the crops, livestock, or forest products to be raised on the farm unit or woodlot. So you have the first test would be consists of 20 more acres and produces at least 2,500. The second test, if you didn't meet that test, the second test would be is not smaller than the average farmer woodlot and produces at least 2,500 annual gross income. And the third test would be on page 7, has produced at least 10,000 annual gross income for 2 consecutive years. And the language we changed a little bit on page 7. That language wouldn't read as that, but essentially you would have 3 tests. That's what that amendment did. Representative Hill.
Just for illustration, in using Louis Kanagi's figures here for Willamette Valley, you would need 3/4 of an acre of strawberries to meet that test. You need to fill the drawing.
I think I'd favor to put 20 or more acres into B, into line 21 myself.
Well, that was not the motion, Representative.
Well, I'd move that then if you'd like it. I would like to move that.
Representative Priestley, we have somebody sitting here explaining another set of amendments who asked us what we just passed. And before you do that, you might want to look at these new set of amendments. But I'm just saying what your motion did. I was just trying to reiterate what it did.
I appreciate that, Madam Chairman. Yes. And I guess I'd like to just follow that up by saying I'm going to give you my interpretation of what it means, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong. That is, if you had a county with no minimum lot size.
Yes. Because you still have that other test up there if you have a minimum.